Uncle Mort's Celtic Fringe by Peter Tinniswood. They decided to take a boat trip. The weather was clement. The race was swift and the cliffs were steep.
What do they call them black crows yonder with red legs, Carter?
Choughs.
Choughs. Choughs. It's a grand word, it's choughs.
Aye.
They've got red legs too.
Aye.
I wonder if they know they're called choughs.
I don't suppose so.
Typical. No one tells you now these days, do they?
No.
The skerried sea, the rip of the tide, rock dove glide on tippered wings, the brood of the island seething at the waves. The boatman was bald.
Serve him right.
They had two fellow passengers.
My name's Neville, and this is my sister, Verona.
Serve you right.
They wore canary yellow anoraks, brown corduroy knickerbockers, scarlet socks and climbing boots. They were knapsacked. They were festooned with cameras and binoculars.
We've come from Stoke-on-Trent to see the gannets.
I see. Have you got no hamburger joints in Stoke-on-Trent, then?
The boat put-put-putted away from the scowling quay and bowed its prow to the rip-raced passage to the island.
Legend has it that this island was once the lair of a ferocious Viking pirate who used to carry off the local maidens and, when he had had his wicked way with them, roasted them over an open fire on a spit.
Well, I suppose they made a change from currant loaf and baked beans.
Legend has it that this island is the burial place for more than 1,000 Welsh saints and martyrs.
Carter?
What?
Do you like people who start every sentence with the words, legend has it that?
I can't stand them.
Neither can I.
Legend has it.
Carter?
What?
Have you ever wished fervently and passionately for the sudden appearance of a giant and ferocious freak wave?
Yes.
Well, legend has it.
Sheer water shaving the waves, stiff-winged and lean. Hurtle of gannet, seal snout and petrel patter. In the skitter-scat of tumbling currents, the boat tossed and yawed, plunged and pounced at the spray.
Legend has it that in ancient times, this island was...
Carter?
What?
Their piccalilli's a very funny colour in Stoke-on-Trent, indeed.
Aye.
The boat lolled in the lee of the island. The soar of the cliffs, the screech of orc, the snarl of the surf. The boatman put his hands over his eyes and squinted. Then in a swift and dexterous movement, he leaned forward and set the engine full speed ahead. The boat charged at the sheer cliffs.
What the hell's he doing, Carter?
I don't know.
Thudder, thud, thud of engine. The churning wake, the spitting prow, nearer and nearer to the cliffs. The drafts and eddies, the tumble of boulders, the blight of the darkened sun.
He's going to wreck us. Do something, Carter. Grab his nadgers. Give him a boiled sweet. Punch him in the...
And then the boatman heaved on the tiller. The boat keeled its belly to the cliffs. The engine shrieked. The water gushed over the gunwales and frothed and hissed on the planking. And then, all was calm. The sun shone, the waters sparkled, a blackbird sang. They were in harbour. The collision mat tyres screeched and squelched against the crumbling quay. The boatmen tied up and made fast. They clambered out.
I'll be back for you in 4 hours, on the dot. Make sure you're here. I won't wait.
And then he was gone.
Who does he remind you of, Carter?
I don't know.
Neither do I. It must be someone famous.
Legend has it...
Shut up!
Steady on, steady on. I'll have you know I used to be a lay preacher in Frodsham.
And he's an ex-member of the Magic Circle.
And so, with a sniff and a snort, the brother and sister set off up the narrow, winding path that edged its way gingerly to the top of the cliffs.
I could just fancy a pint.
So could I.
Right then, where's the nearest pub?
They don't have a pub.
Why not?
Because no one lives on the island.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Why?
Well, would you live in a place that hasn't got a single pub to its name?
Hmm.
Let's bugger off then, shall we?
We can't.
Why not?
We've got to wait for the boat.
Ye gods. Will this nation never learn the lesson of Dunkirk?
They scrambled up the steep, clutching path, panting and wheezing in the sultry heat. When they reached the cliff top, they threw themselves onto the turf and rested their backs against a gap-toothed dry stone wall. The sun throbbed their temples. The hot breath of the wind wheezed through their bones. Their eyelids drooped. Their heads nodded, and soon they were asleep. The storm broke without warning.
Good God, Carter! What did you have for your breakfast?
The lightning tingled on their tongues. It raised the hair on the backs of their necks. Thunder roar, thunder clatter. Sleek, slant and hiss of rain. Pitchy blackness.
Come on, let's leg it.
Cowering their heads into the screaming gale and the stinging rain, they headed for the ruined farmhouse. The gorse and the brambles and the sneering blackthorn hacked at their jackets and snatched at their legs. At length, they stumbled into the yard of the old farm.
Good God, Carter! Look!
A light was shining through a gape-cold window. It was a steady, intense light. It was not flickered or shimmered by the gale.
Struth! Do you know, legend has it...
Well, don't you start!
A shadow passed in front of the light.
Struth! Now we've got a ghost!
Don't talk empty, lad. Listen to me. I served all through the First World War. I witnessed the horrors of the Somme and the slaughter of Vimy Ridge. Even worse, I had to listen to Wilfred Owen reading his poems out loud. Well then, I'll be damned if I'll let a daffy ghost put the wind up me. If it's Winfred Vaughan Thomas, I'll bloody strangle him. Follow me, Carter. Over the top, lad, into battle.
Dauntlessly, the old man led his nephew across the yard. The tautness of sinew, the tension of nerve end.
Hey up, Carter. I can smell cream of celery soup.
You what?
This way, lad. Boldness be your friend. With a bit of luck, we might find a cache of spam fritters.
Uncle Mort composed himself. He turned his cap back to front. He covered his mouth with his muffler. He breathed in deeply and slowly. He drew up his walking stick to his hip, ferule pointing bold and cunning into the darkness.
Right then, lads! Charge!
With a roar and a bellow, he hurtled into the room where the light glowed and the soft mice scampered. And there... there, in front of them, they saw Neville and Verona. They were sitting placidly on two camp stools. They had sleeping bags wrapped round their knees. On a portable metal leg table was a lamp and a stove. Simmering on the stove was a pan of soup.
Welcome aboard. We knew you'd turn up sooner or later. Anyone care for a beaker of soup?
Is it cream of celery?
No, tomato and basil. It's teeming with goodness.
Well, it's not goodness I'm after, missus. It's food. Have you got any pig strotters?
Oh, no. Nothing like that.
Ah, well, there's no need to panic, missus. We'll post sentries and pickets and send out scouting parties in search of food.
But we've got food here. Oodles and oodles of it. You're most welcome to share it with us.
What have you got?
Watercress sandwiches in wholemeal bread, fig cutlets, cottage cheese flan...
That's all right, and... missus. Don't bother no more. I'll wait till the boatman comes and have a good suck at his sea boots.
But the boatman won't be coming.
What?
He'll never get in a storm like this. We'll have to wait while morning.
Does that mean we're stranded?
That's right. There's no need to worry. We're old hands at being stranded, aren't we, Verona?
Oh, yes. We've been stranded in a hut on the Cairngorms.
And in an ice hole on the Matterhorn. 3 days we was there. Conditions was terrible. Howling gales, biting cold. It froze all the pages of me library book. Talk about deprivation.
Deprivation? You don't know the meaning of the word. You wait while you've been stranded half an hour in a bus shelter in the centre of Doncaster.
Verona smiled. She opened a pink Tupperware container and offered its contents to Carter Brandon. Soon he was chomping through sago tartlets, date and sunflower seed crunchies, and compote of celery and rhubarb.
Are you sure we can't tempt you to something?
Perfectly sure, missus. If I get into a tight spot, I'll eat me underpants.
Well, they won't do you no harm, provided they're strictly vegetarian.
The storm raged on. Zicker-zack of lightning, crack of thunder, the rumbling wind, the gnashing rain.
Anyone fancy a game of lexicon?
Bugger off!
The night drew in round their shoulders. Neville and Verona settled themselves on the floor in their sleeping bags and were soon sleeping soundly and peacefully. The cold seeped up through the twisted stone flags. The wind hurtled in through the sightless windows.
Shall we mug them, Carter? And nick their sleeping bags?
No. We'll huddle up together and try and get a nap.
I'm not huddling up to you.
Why not?
Well, I might catch something off your nut cutlets.
And so Carter Brandon curled up in a corner farthest from the rain, and Uncle Mort squatted on his haunches and brooded and dozed. An hour later, he awoke with a start. The whole room was lit up by moonlight. The storm had gone. His three companions were sleeping. He picked his way carefully over the debris and rubble inside the farmhouse and stepped outside. The whole island shimmered softly in the full flood of moonlight. He sat on a rock and lit his pipe. And then, a rabbit appeared out of the darkness. It showed no fear. It hopped towards him softly and sat down on the turf and stared deep into his eyes. It was joined by another rabbit, and another, and yet another, and they all sat and stared deep into his eyes. Hares appeared, a vixen and her cubs, lizards and grass snakes, voles and shrews, lean-whiskered rats, snug-nosed otter, and they all sat silently on the turf and stared at him. And then the birds appeared. Wrens and blackbirds, robins and stonechats, skylark and peregrine, puffin and scoter. And they, too, sat silently in front of him, staring deep into his eyes.
Clear off! Go on, clear off! Hasn't no one told you it's rude to stare? Don't look at me like that. It's nowt to do with me. You can't blame me for being you.
Shush.
Hey?
Shush.
He turned. Verona was standing by his side. She'd taken off her woolly hat. Her hair was blonde. It flowed to her waist. She linked him by the arm.
It's magic, my dear. The ancient magic of the Celts.
Next morning, they scrambled down the cliff path to the harbour. They did not have to wait long for the boatman. He helped them aboard, and they set sail for the mainland in calm seas, freebooted with porpoise and lunging gannet.
Carter?
What?
Isn't it funny?
In what funny?
Well, it's funny that this is the first day out we've had when nothing funny's happened to us.
Legend, has it?
Shut up. It's nowt to do with me.
In As Legend Has It, you heard Stephen Thorne as Uncle Mort and Sam Kelly as Carter Brandon. Verona was played by June Barry and Neville by Stuart Organ. The narrator was Christian Rodska. Uncle Mort's Celtic Fringe was written by Peter Tinniswood and produced in Bristol by Pete Atkins.